Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. Thank you guys for calling in tonight. I see the phone lines are lit up already. Tonight, Sunday, September 7th, our guest tonight is Sam Fine. But before we speak with our guest, actually while we're waiting for our guest to call in, let me just remind you guys of a few things. Our call-in number is 914-803-399 for those of you who are listening by computer. Again, that number is 914-803-399. 4399. You must press the option with the host if you have comments or questions. And I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise, who has the beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. Thank you all for joining us for tonight's show. Get expert tips at IMATS Toronto. The International Makeup Artist Trade Show takes place on November 22nd through 23rd of this year. Our keynote speakers, Barney Berman and Rocky Cosetti. If you are a pro card holder, be sure to reserve your tickets as soon as possible. Don't miss the Battle of the Brushes student competition. The themes for this year in Toronto are the world of comic books and graphic novels for those of you participating in the character and prosthetic. For the beauty fantasy competition, the theme this year will be art through the ages. And for more information on how to register for the competitions, for ticket prices, and a list of vendors and classes, you can go to the IMATS website, which is imats.net. Be sure to tune in to Marietta Carter Narcisse's Lipstick Lectures next Saturday, September 13th at 11 a.m. The topic on next Saturday is What's a Honey Wagon? Set Terminology. what's a honey wagon, that terminology. You can register by going to Marietta's website, which is MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. Again, that's MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. The Narcisse is spelled N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E. Be on the phone lines when I read this, but are we still on the line?
I believe he's on the line.
You on the line, Sam? Is he muted?
No. Maybe that's not him.
Okay, I'll go ahead and and read the email that I wanted to share with you all. And the email comes from a makeup artist named Sylvia Koala. And it says, "Hello, Denise and Janice. My name is Sylvia, 28 years old, and I'm a makeup artist based here in Uganda. I love to listen to your podcast because they are very informative, especially for somebody like me who comes from a country with no makeup artistry recognition at all. I am a self-taught artist. Most of my creativity comes from intuition and personal imagination. I've been a makeup artist for 8 years now, and every day is a new beginning for me to learn more. I get inspired by nature, and I also self-motivate myself, but your podcast has helped me to look at the makeup business in a more fruitful way. Where we go to schools here, they teach us that you can only be useful in society if you become a lawyer or a doctor or a politician. Our education systems promote mainly science courses, and arts are a by the way. But it's so wonderful to have such a beautiful daily inspiration. Please, please bring back Sam Fon. His talk greatly touched my life. I have a bachelor's degree in drama, which my first year in school I was so ashamed of. But now I am so proud that I did that course because it introduced me to makeup artistry class for stage, and I used it to make my way into beauty makeup. I have now introduced a makeup line here, which is basically makeup products for African women. It's been quite challenging because I had to convince women that to wear makeup is not to be. We have a very rigid traditional culture where women are still submissive to men. Girls are raised within the back of their minds that they have to rely on men. This creates a lot of domestic violence and domination by the men. Some women have to ask for permission from their husbands to wear makeup, but they choose for them the sort of makeup they should wear or how they should look like. It's almost a year now, and the makeup is getting recognized, and there are other makeup artists now coming up. 7 years ago, it was just a couple of us taking the business seriously. My other fellow artists branched into something else, but I'm still going. I also train other fellow makeup artists now to be able to sustain themselves in the industry, but it's still not taken very seriously on a larger scale. Some are in it for fame. Others enjoy the company of their celebrity clients, and others it's because they don't have anything serious to do. Others do makeup while they wait for their real white-collar jobs to come through. It's not as bad as it was 8 years ago. We now have a flourishing advertising industry. And celebrity makeup is on the rise, same as bridal makeup services. I am soon having a workshop to teach single mothers how to use makeup and also inspire them to be job creators as women entrepreneurs." And I'm going to stop there because the rest is more about her sending, I think, attaching like some of her work to the email and everything else. But I just wanted to read that, number one, so that you all can hear, you know, about other makeup artists around the world, what they're inspired by, you know, what keeps them going, what keeps them motivated. She named our guest tonight by name, so I actually wanted Sam to hear me read this email. Is he on the line yet?
Let's see here.
There's so many people on the line. I'm hoping he's
able
to get
so through. Many people on the line, yes. Let me try the same number again. Hello? Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
I actually got disconnected. Yes, I got disconnected. Are we talking to everyone now?
We're talking to everyone.
Everyone.
Okay, well, cool. Well, hello, everyone. I'm on a cell phone. Everything is great. And I did hear that letter.
Good.
I think that we just don't realize our impact across
exactly.
the world. I mean, it's just a very different playing field these days.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow.
When
absolutely.
She
said that letter,
I was able
like,
to hear
oh, my
it.
Gosh. I said, oh, my gosh, how, you know, on time this letter is. You were going to be our guest coming up, and she was like, please have Sam back on the line. So excited to listen.
I'm so excited to be back, and I'll tell you that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're so often in our own worlds. We're often, you know, thinking about our next booking, thinking about the next job that's coming up, and when you hear things like, you know, your book was the first book that I ever bought, or your career inspired me to do makeup, or, you know, your like on Instagram helped me to push forward in my career. They're things that we just really take for granted because we're so busy thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking about the example that we are to so many people.
And if I can, before we go any further, I see where Sylvia responded a few days ago, and I just wanted to read the first little paragraph. She says, hello, I hope you're both doing fantastic. First of all, I would like to say thank you for writing back. It's so great to hear from you. I will definitely tune in to listen to Sam Fine. I will be able to listen to the show a day after because of the crazy time difference. Yay, can't wait. Please say thanks to Mr. Fine for me because he is such an inspiration. I love how he emphasized that he prefers to use a sponge for foundation because it actually blends the foundation very well versus airbrush, and I definitely identify with that. Also, he talked about...
She's going to get me in trouble for that, but yeah.
Right, exactly. Also, he talked about the business side of our industry, which I used to underlook, but since then, my business is more profitable.
And once again, you know, we often think about artistry in this industry. We don't think about the commerce. We don't focus on the business and the deal memos and the things that go into it. And we talked about that the last time we were here.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about taxes. You all remember.
Yes,
and
I remember.
I hope that we have enlightened so many other people to think about the business aspect and that it's not just artistry that runs this business, but it's the dollars and cents. It's how we manage ourselves. And that is a big, big part of this.
Absolutely.
How do you, Sam, get artists to understand that, though? You know, some of them are so wrapped up into the art that they just don't get it.
Anyone who is that wrapped up in the art is simply avoiding the business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you understand that.
Yep.
You know when taxes have to be done. You know when, other artists are talking about becoming incorporated. You know when people are talking about managing finances. You know when people are talking about, oh, that's a business write-off. It's okay. You can spend that money to get that new computer and build a website. You know it because it's part of what everyone else in this industry is talking about.
Right.
I avoided it for years. Like I said, we talked about this last time, and I had a wonderful, very candid conversation with you guys about that. I avoided it for years. And, you know, my parents didn't come from a place of being entrepreneurs and having to deal with their taxes in the way that we do. You have to be really focused. And if you're not focused, there are people out there who can help you. We don't enter into this industry easily. You know, you walk into this industry, it's a business. I always say it's a business loosely based on business. You know, you don't graduate and then, you know, take a job and then get a 401k and you have this HR, you know, who takes care of you. You're on your own. You are on your own. And from that respect, you really have to work hard to make sure your books are balanced, make sure your taxes are done. And it is overwhelming, and I've been overwhelmed before, as I'm sure there are celebrities who have been overwhelmed, there are artists who are overwhelmed, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. You really have to dedicate that time to the business aspect of it. You can't talk about a client and pay me when you didn't spend the time to do a deal memo and make sure that the information was spelled out. This is for 8 hours.
Exactly.
After that, you're going to be a time and a half until you reach 12 hours. Then you're then you're
right.
you're double time. I mean, come on. But
right.
we focus on getting the job because that's the biggest emphasis, is if I can just be working.
Right.
Not always the biggest issue. The biggest issue for me is I want to be working, but I also want to be clear about the payment
right.
because we all work to get paid.
And,
right.
and another thing to that is a lot of times we're so busy trying to get the job that we don't ask the right questions. Like, you know, how, you know, like you said, you know, understanding that after a certain amount of time, it's you know, time and a half, and after that it's double time. Sometimes we don't even realize that there could possibly be a difference in your rate after a certain amount of time. We just want the job.
Or
you
that
know.
You can ask, or that you can even ask for travel days.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm flying, you know, 5 or 6 hours, then that is work in essence. And so you can charge for that, or you can charge for a reimbursement of gas if you're driving
right.
to a further
Absolutely.
Location. But, you know, I love that we just started out with the business of it because
right, exactly.
I think it's so easy to talk about the artistry. It's so easy to talk
mm-hmm.
about the perfect brow. It's so easy to talk mm-hmm. about how do you get a celebrity client. But it's really about how you learn how to manage the business aspect of it, which is so much more important.
And another thing I want to throw out. Can I throw this one thing out really quickly? I know we're going to be talking over each other all night. I can tell.
It's all good. It's all good.
Just while it's on my mind, I was thinking, especially for those of us who work in film and television, and I've noticed over the years, sometimes even with people who are preparing your taxes, sometimes you have to teach them how to prepare
yes.
your taxes because sometimes they don't understand what a box rental is, you know, or, you know, they don't understand that you can be unemployed, like, you know, every other week, you know, like in 2 months after this movie is over, I'm unemployed. And then, you know, you may go and receive unemployment. And unemployment
but see, I'm
going
to jump the gun. But see, I'm going to jump the gun because really
do.
We're talking about something that's really foreign to a lot of people. When
exactly.
you're union, see, I wasn't union. I worked in this industry for many, many years, and I recently joined the union in L.A., you know, working with the Queen Latifah show. And it's a wonderful experience. And there are rules and regulations. That's something that I was not used to.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're on hiatus, if I'm not working, if Vanessa Williams isn't calling me, if Gabrielle Union's not calling me during this time off from the talk show, I can claim unemployment, but I didn't
mm-hmm.
know that I could do that, you know, before because that wasn't an option to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's so many different rules and regulations. That's why I make friends with, you know, the key makeup artists.
Right.
I'm Queen Latifah's makeup artist. I'm not the key
right.
makeup artist for the Queen Latifah show. There is a difference.
Right.
So when the key makeup artist comes in, you know, not only do I want to make friends with her or him because, you know, we're in the similar position, but I also want to learn from them. Anyone who comes
right.
before you who has more experience, they're there to offer you more advice on how to understand this new system.
Right, right. But let me tell you why we can collect unemployment when you're in the union, and it's simply only because we're being paid through a payroll company. So it's like it's just like you're on a regular 9 to 5. You're getting you're getting a paycheck at the end of the week. Now, had it been they were giving you, you know, you were being they gave you a W-9. You have to fill out a W-9 form, and you get a 1099 at the end of the year. That you know. You can still, you know, you can't collect unemployment off of that. It's only if you're getting paid through a payroll company, and that's the only way unemployment will be able to pull that up.
Yes.
So
that simple statement was eye-opening to me when someone told me, like, you can claim unemployment when you're off for 2 weeks for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
mm-hmm.
what? I mean,
yep.
you know, I mean, but once again, you know, after almost, you know, 25 years in the business, this was not my career. Coming out
right.
to do television was something very different for me, and it just shows you that there is always something new to learn on the business side of things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then let me ask you, since you kind of went into it a little bit. What was it like leaving New York, packing up, moving to L.A., to start in this new world that you weren't used to for the last 25 years?
You know, when I lived in New York, you know, I've lived in New York since I was 19 years old and have worked in this freelance industry since I was 21, and I moved last year when I was 44 years old. And I'll tell you, it has been one of the most challenging things that I've ever faced. I've never gone to work every day for the same person. I've never had to think about seeing the same people and working with the same people and being part of a team. And I guess you're a part of a team when you work for Essence Magazine and, you know, Vogue and so forth, but you're part of a team for a day, and everyone has their own responsibilities, and you kind of report back.
Mm-hmm.
Being part of a television show, you know, being a part of a day-to-day is very different. I mean, you know, I moved to Wall Street. You know, if everyone knows New York, I moved to World Trade Center, Wall and Water, you know, the heart of Wall Street, right after Hurricane Sandy, Zone A, and you know, I was displaced for about a month, then moved mm-hmm. into my apartment. About 7 months later, Queen Latifah said, you know, hey, Sam, I have the show coming up. Do you want to do it? And I said, you know, I've gone to L.A. since I was a child, you know, in this industry, and now's a good time. I mean, you know, let me see something other than New York. So I took this opportunity knowing that it would be a change, but I had no idea how I would grow from this experience. And I have to tell you, working with, you know, Aisha Merriweather, who is Queen Latifah's okay. hairstylist, Timothy Snell, Queen Latifah's stylist, you work with them in freelance capacity, but when you work with them in a television show capacity, it's very different. You become very reliant on your team members. This is a sport now. You know, it's a sport. I mean, you really have to make sure that you can get things done and that everyone's working together as a team. And that was not something that I had dealt with before. And also just going to work every day. Mm-hmm. I hadn't dealt with it that way. If I worked every day, it was for someone different, and I had a different personality for everyone. Every job was different. Every requirement was different. This is the same 4 to 5 times a week. And it definitely threw me on my ass. And mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that I've grown from it and looking forward to season 2 that starts September 15th, this Monday. I hope everyone's tuning in. And it's fun. And also I get a chance to be on the show, being a beauty professional, talking about what I do. And that's fun, too. So I have a lot of opportunities here as well.
Wow. Well, when you go back to the show, please tell Aisha that we said hello.
And congratulations on becoming our first on the show. She is, you know, we were nominated for lighting and her nomination for hairstyling, and she
mm-hmm.
won an Emmy this year, which is huge.
Yeah. She took a picture with it. Yeah, she let us all hold her Emmy and take pictures with it on the set of Bessie.
Yes. Now, mind you, she left it with her parents in Atlanta, so we haven't had that
really?
Opportunity yet. I told her, like, you got to bring it to us.
I was happy for her for that. That was a great accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Great accomplishment. So tell me a little bit about, I know you said 4 or 5 days, you know, out of the week, but what's the schedule like once you get to work? What's your schedule? What's the whole schedule, the whole format of the show? What is that all about?
Well, it's really different, you know, and mind you, you know, I've done, you know, Michelle Obama, I've worked with Oprah, I've worked with Star Jones when she was at The View. I've done moments of television, so it's not foreign to me. But being a part of a staff is very different. You're not a day player. You're not someone who's coming in just, you know, to see someone for a day, and do your best work and leave. You are there for the long haul. So when you see comedy sketches, when you see promos, when you see openings, when you see field shoots, and we did a wonderful field shoot at Dodger Stadium to launch the show on September 15th, this Monday, it's so much fun, but it's a lot of different types of work. You know, I worked with Tyra when she was on her show, you know, Tyra's show.
Right.
It's always different. And that's the one thing that I can appreciate about it is that it switches up, you know, whether you're in the field, where you're doing promotionals, where you're doing press. And, of course, you know, she's an Oscar-nominated actress, so she's, you know, at the, you know, she's at the Oscars. She's at the Emmys. She's at the People's Choice Awards. So she's everywhere as well, in addition to things that she does for the show. So that keeps
right.
me excited as well. So, there, you know, she's multifaceted, and which makes us multidimensional artists. You know, you've got to switch it up everywhere you go. And that's what I enjoy about this business. That's what I've always enjoyed about this business.
So it doesn't make, you know, now you're acting as her personal, and, of course, I guess the thing that makes that keeps your job interesting is it's not just the show, and it's not just being, like, on the set, but then she's sometimes away from the studio, and then she's off doing these other things. So I guess that keeps, you know, you work with one person one day, and then you move on to somebody else the next time you go to work.
And that can be, you know, and that can be really jarring, you
mm-hmm.
know, for an artist like myself who's used to seeing someone different, you know, 3-4 times a week. You know, during our hiatus, you know, Vanessa Williams attended the Emmys. I had a chance to work with top model Jordan Dunn. If you guys aren't familiar with her, Google her because, I mean, she was in Beyonce's video, Yonce, with Chanel Iman and another of my favorites, Joan Smalls. You know, then going to do the promos for Gabrielle Union's second season of Being Mary Jane. There's always something going on, but there's always a new team. There's always a new story. There's always a new location. But when, you know, the one thing that I love about working at the show is that when I go to the show, that my makeup's always in the same place. I know what the lighting is. And I know everybody out there who's listening is like nodding their head because they know what it's like to have to go to a hotel, to the next hotel, to the other location that they're not sure is going to be, like, you know, conducive to makeup and hair. So knowing where I'm going every day is really sweet. And then I can
exactly.
set it the way that I want, and I can stock it the way that I want, and be around people that I also respect and can play off of. And that's really important.
Absolutely. Let me ask you. You've been doing this for a long time. We had a conversation last week about just maintaining a successful career or just maintaining in the beauty industry. You know, back 25 years ago, things were not like they are now. The landscape of beauty has changed. Things are totally different. And what I want to know from you is how do you maintain a successful career? How do you stay relevant and on people's minds now that things have changed in the industry?
So you have to continue believing yourself at the end of the day. I mean, that is probably one of the most key elements of moving forward is you
yeah.
have to see yourself in a number of positions. You know, everyone sitting here listening to me talk about being a part of the Queen Latifah show, that was not something that I saw for myself, but you have to stay open to change. And you have to think about, like, wow, what is this going to mean to me, you know, if one of my clients decides to do a talk show, or if they decide to go on tour, or if, you know, dot, 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 you fill in the blank there. The idea is that you build a career by the people that you work with. And I'm fortunate enough to have worked with Monique during her talk show years, and Tyra, and, you know, and Oprah, and so many others when they were going into their talk show years, and that kind of gives you a greater career. For me, you have to see other opportunities. Whether you're sitting there daydreaming about them, or whether you're putting plans in action, whether you are filming a pilot for your own makeup show, whether you are sending out your portfolio to Good Morning America and saying, like, hey, I want to assist somebody and I want to be a part of that and I want to join the union, because the union is, you know, definitely a great, you know, a great opportunity, a great placement agency of sort that puts you on the roster and you pay your dues, and you know, it definitely exposes you to a lot of work, but also to thinking about where you want to live, where works for you, that you feel like, you know, I can be an asset in Atlanta, I can be an asset in Chicago, I can be an asset in Los Angeles. So you have to think about ultimately about what you want, and then occasionally allow the opportunities that come to you, you know, to say yes to those. I definitely could not have predicted that Queen Latifah would offer me this opportunity. I'd never done television before. This was really not my strong suit. But, you know, I'm so fortunate to be with celebrities who really allow me to grow, you know, within their umbrella of work. And that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you have pretty much, I'm not going to say built your career on, but you primarily work with women of color, Vogue magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You're the go-to master for women of color. I think that's wonderful. I think it's a unique place to be. You know, like for some artists, if that was only our clientele, we may not work as much.
I mean, that's the short stick. That's the short stick version of my message. You know, mm-hmm. I started out working with Scavullo and doing Cosmo covers and working with Paris L'Officiel and doing fashion spreads for Cosmo magazine. But where mm-hmm. I felt most purposeful was when I was, you know, translating the trends at the fashion shows as we're embarking on, you know, the next New York Fashion Week. And everyone's always like, are you doing Fashion Week? I'm like, no. I've definitely given my sweat and tears to that part of the industry. But what happens is you've got to be ready to change. And you've mm-hmm. also got to realize that your destiny lies in specific parts of the industry. When I look at what Pat McGrath has done, when I look at what Dick Page has done, when I look at what Francois Nars and Laura Mercier have done, or Sonia Kashuk, I look at what they've done, or Reggie Wells, you know, I see so many people who are working and moving along on their own journey. And ultimately that's really what it's about. I chose to dedicate my career to women of color because I felt more purposeful in mm-hmm. this plate. Where do you feel most purposeful? Some people, you know, talk about working with celebrities. Some people are better brand managers. Some people want to, you know, who have families and think about consistency, think about companies and working with them and bringing their companies to the height of success. That's important. There is a place for everyone. I think, you know, the goal is to think about where you feel you belong the most.
Absolutely. I just want to remind, it looks like I can't even count how many people are listening by phone. So I just want to encourage all of you who are listening, if you have a comment or a question, please do press the option to speak to the host. And that number is, well, you're already on the line, so just press option, I believe, is one, maybe. But I think there's someone.
Wait, what do you do? What do you do if you want to say something? What do you do?
They just press
one.
The option to speak with the host.
Gotcha. Press number one, y'all, if y'all want to say something. Yeah. Because it's true. I think, I, you know, just to add on what I was saying before, I think we get caught up in, you know, the idea of doing one thing. You've got to be open to change. I mean, I wouldn't be in LA. I wouldn't be working at the Queen Latifah show. I would not have, I might not have the CoverGirl commercial that I have running if I didn't just say yes to a, you know, to some things and okay. allow myself to grow. If I kept saying, you know, no, I'm a fashion makeup artist, I do celebrities, I live in New York. You've got to learn how to redefine yourself and redefine your goals. And that's always important. I mean, it's always important.
Absolutely. Normally, I'm tweeting right now, Sam, while
yes.
you're talking. But for those of us who may be following us on the tweet chat, I don't know what's going on out there, but I'm so engrossed in what you're saying that I can't even see
yes.
it right now.
But I think, so but let me say this. I think that a lot of people think you get to a point in your career and you're just like, I'm good. Like, you know, I'm here, this is great, I'll do this for 10 years, 10, 15 years. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. The universe is conspiring to push you out into your greatest good. And so when I say that, whether you're fired, the first thing I say when someone says, like, oh, you know, I was let go, this client stopped using me, I tell them congratulations.
Right.
Because
yeah,
now you
exactly.
have the time. Exactly. You get it. You get it.
Yeah.
Now you
yep.
have the time to dedicate to what it is you want.
Exactly.
And you're free from whatever it is that someone may not have, you know, understood your greatness. They may not have understood your level of talent. So now you have that opportunity. But we're so busy mourning kind of those losses that we don't realize
right.
the infinite possibilities that are really presented to us once we are free of those clients and those jobs.
Right. Absolutely. I'm going to take a couple of calls here. Let's see. Who went up first? It's a bunch of them. Once we said press option one, everybody's hand went up. All right, let's see.
See, that's what I was like, no, because I didn't get it. I was like, okay, number one, got it.
All right. This is a person calling from the 318 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My name is Crystal Madison. I live in Monroe, Louisiana. And I just want to first off say hi. I want to first off say that I have been a huge, huge, huge fan of you, Miss Divine, since I was like 10 years old. So,
wow. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you.
I read Find the Basics of Beauty when it first came out. My godmother had your book, and I'm just
wow.
in total awe of you, and I've been a big fan for most of my life.
Thank you.
Right now I work for a cosmetics company, and I know one of my bosses will tell me in order to grow you have to go, because like I said, I live in Monroe, Louisiana, and it's not
oh, my
a
God. Please make
here.
That. Please make that a hashtag.
Exactly.
Yes, please make that a hashtag, yes.
But when it comes to moving to like a bigger market, a bigger area, what do you have any tips or advice as far as, I don't know, maybe just kind of how to make that adjustment?
Why do you want to move to a bigger market?
Well, I want to move to a bigger market because I want to be like you, but that's the short answer.
Is that too neat? You have to remember, though, when I moved to New York, I was 17 years old, fell on my tail, came back when I was 19, and I had been in New York ever since. Didn't have, you know, any ties to anyone or anything, which made it very easy for me. I don't know your age, and I also don't know your level of responsibility. How easy is it for you to pick up and move?
Well, I was in the military for a while, so moving is nothing to me. So,
but do you have children? Do you have loved ones?
No,
that
I don't.
You
I'm,
would
I'm
feel
single.
Okay.
I have no children, nothing like that. So,
okay.
It's pretty easy as far as me moving. I think for me, it's just being away from my family. That would be the most difficult, meaning my parents, my sisters, and things like that.
Okay. But so what kind of work would you want to do most? Because a lot of people talk about moving to bigger markets, but what is a bigger market than where you are depends okay. on kind of the work that you want to do. So what kind of work would you like to do?
Well, I would like to, like, work in mainly, like, the fashion industry, doing fashion week and traveling the world and just as doing whatever I could get my hands on, really. But listening to you talk about the business aspect of it, it sounds overwhelming at first, but it really isn't that overwhelming. But it's just, I think that it is glamorous at first glance, and I understand that there's a lot of work that goes into it and a lot of egos that you have to deal with and things like that. But just working in the fashion industry in general is just a huge dream of mine. And like I said, I want to be like you. A lot of people, even with the company I work with, they say, you know, well, what are your goals? I said, well, I'd like to be the next M5.
Okay, so now, Crystal, so now that you've called in, I can use you as an example. And I'm going to play with you. It's all in good spirit. And I'll let you know, a lot of times, you know, it's a very, very vague goal to have, to say that I want to be like anyone else, to experience the career that someone else is so specific to them. You know, I moved to New York in 1989. You know, there was no Mac, there was no Bobby Brown, the Fashion Week was Kevin Aquan and Assistants, and it was very, very, not underground, but it was very different in the way that he chose artists and selected them and being part of their teams. It was very different. Mm-hmm. This was before Maybelline, you know, and all of these companies were sponsoring, and Mac was doing a lot of shows, and so it was a very different experience. So when you say that you want a career similar to someone else's, you're not really talking about the career that you want. You want aspects of my career.
Yeah. I understand that.
I love that. Because the idea is that you want to, and I'm translating for you because I do hear this quite a bit. You want pieces of my career. But ultimately, what do you want? What's the job that when you close your eyes, you envision yourself on?
Well, I would love to be like the makeup artist to certain, you know, I want to be like, you know how you have a signature look? Like, I can look at something that you've done and say, oh, yeah, that's Sam. Those are the eyebrows right there. Like, I want to have that signature on the world, like what you've done for us. It's almost like I want to do what you do for the next generation. And how you influence everybody in the beauty industry as well as outside of the beauty industry. I mean, when people look at Queen Latifah, they're just like, oh, my God.
And when you say that, Crystal, what is the one thing that you think would give you the opportunity to have that view, to have that effect on the artists? What's that job? What are those jobs? What do they look like? See, I talk about this because, you know, let me say this, Janice, you know, so many artists say what they want in a very kind of vague kind of like, you know, I just want to be a working makeup artist. I want to have this career like so-and-so. I want to do this. But I'm asking you specifically, Crystal, when you close your eyes and showing up at that job, who's the client in your chair? What's the difference?
I'm sorry, I could not hear that last part. It's kind of broken up. Hello?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry about that.
I was saying, when you close your eyes, where do you see yourself and who do you see yourself working for?
I would see myself somewhere like New York.
Okay.
For a brand, I could be like say it one more time.
No, that's one good thing down. Yes. So you see New York. Keep going.
Like, and when you had mentioned working for a corporation and kind of helping to build up that brand, I see myself working for the company that I work for now. I can see myself being a top artist for the current company that I work for.
That's not my career.
No, I know that's not your career, but
I want you to be specific.
I want to be exactly like Sam Fine. It's just the mark that you've made on the world in the beauty industry. That's what I mean. I want to make the impact that you've made.
And we all have the power to make impact, no matter where we are and what we do at what level of success. So what I'm trying to get kind of, you know, what I'm trying to get you to do and what I'm trying to get everyone else to see who's listening is to be more clear about where they see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying a company. So you would like to say the company that you're at.
Absolutely.
And make a difference while you're there.
Make a difference while I'm there? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. and I know with, it's so weird. I mean, I know you're saying when you kind of got into it, it was the 80s, and it was this underground thing, and now it's huge. Everybody's a makeup artist. That's another hashtag.
yes, it is.
Everybody wants to be a makeup artist. And, you know, when I first looked into doing it, it was all glamour and all glitz, and it was oh, my gosh, I'm getting tweeted. Okay. It was all glamorous and glitz and pretty, and, you know, reality set in when I did my first gig. It was a full-day gig, and I got no money for it, and it's like, okay, we got to get down to business here. But
And that's why I say to Janice, that's why I say
and talk to us and all of that. So
that's why I say to Janice and Denise that I think a lot of people enter into this industry and they want great things out of it. And I recently talked to someone, a friend of a friend, you know, who asked me, you know, y'all always know there's somebody who you know who wants to enter into this industry or wants to take their career to the next level. And I think that is probably one of the most common questions around. And when I think of people who've assisted me, from Valente Frazier, who I believe is on a talk with you guys next week.
Yes.
Who's on a call with you guys next week. You guys have to tune in. Valente is amazing. To other artists like Rennie Vasquez and Nikki Posley. There are wonderful people who are freelancing and doing their thing. I think you have to be able to write on paper. You have to be able to write it down and be able to see what the type of jobs, who are the type of clients. You attract who you are, and you also have to envision exactly where you want to be. I always envisioned myself in New York. And so from that standpoint, we have that in common. However, when you talk about working for a company, that didn't work for me. That kind of day-to-day thing didn't work for me. I didn't feel I could make my impact there. Whereas you say you feel like you can. You want to work for that company. Maybe you're the person who gets them to sign a top model or celebrity, a black celebrity, to the brand for the first time. Maybe you work in product development to make sure that there are more colors for women of color and more programs to speak to an ethnic audience. There is a point of difference to be made everywhere we go. So don't lose sight of that. And from that standpoint, you know, start thinking about exactly what you want and the difference you want to make.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
No, and I think
you understand, I'm so nervous and I'm stuttering and I don't, but I'm just kind of speechless.
What are words?
It's all good.
Thank you for having him on the call, ladies.
No problem. But Crystal, I think also you have to be the best you wherever you are now.
And I think that will help you into once you have a clear idea of really where you want to go and what you want to do, I think the point of impacting people, I think that'll just come in the whole process of it all.
To that statement, I think it's important to have goals. I think they're important to have mentors. I think it's important to be able to look at Kevin Kwan and Frank Cooper and Francois Nars, and I want to have a brand just like them. I get that. But until you reach that level, what are you going to do? How are you going to form your career? You know, I've worked with Vanessa Williams for 21 years. So clearly I had insight into who I wanted to work with and how I wanted my makeup to look and how I wanted to put, you know, to kind of, you know, the clients that I wanted to attract. That is what I'm talking about.
I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, right now it's very, I have like little short-term goals as far as moving up in the company that I'm in with right now. But like I said before, like my boss had told me, if you want to grow, you got to go. And that's the next step, is to move into a larger market in order to gain more exposure.
And I love the way you said that. I love the way you said it, to gain more exposure. Because for me, you know, a kid from Chicago who moved to New York at 17, I didn't realize that a lot of the things that I've experienced even existed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, like, you know, I always say keep your goals really short, very clear, a year to year. You know, like, I want to move to New York. Let me get that under my belt. That's hard enough as it is. And then let me continue working with this brand and seeing what that has to offer. And as I am exposed to more things are exposed to me. So you're going to get so much just by taking a few steps forward. So I look forward to talking when we speak next and hearing where you are at that time.
I do too. Maybe my heart won't be beating as fast.
Oh, please. It's all good. It's all good, Crystal. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Continued success.
All right, let me take another call. We have quite a few, so guys, if you all can keep it short and see how many I can squeeze in.
You know, and I have to say really quickly, really quickly, Janice and Denise, you know, you hear a lot of these kind of questions, these kind of concerns about, like, I want this type of career, I want this. But there's so many steps to getting that, and I felt like, you know, I feel like if we were talking to someone who wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, we could so much more easily map out their ascent. We could
Absolutely.
Talk about, well, you've got to do this amount of schooling, you've got to go to law school, you've got to pass the bar. And because our business is loosely based on business, and there are people, you know, who, like myself, who are plucked from obscurity, who become, you know, celebrity artists, just, you know, Patti LaBelle and Vanessa Williams, you know, early mm-hmm. in their careers, it, the possibilities are endless. But what I want artists to understand is that they've got to think about the next direct step.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope you guys are taking notes out there. The next caller is from the 954 area code. We have quite a few of them.
What's 954?
I think it's Florida. Hello?
Maybe not.
Maybe they don't want to talk. Let's see. Only press option one, y'all, if you want to speak. Let's see. 951. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Wow, glory to God, I tell you. Hi, this is...
What's your name?
Are you ready for this, Sam? It's Peggy.
It's Peggy.
It's Peggy Haynes from Southern California.
Peggy, what are you doing on the phone?
I'm calling to talk to the people and to you and Denise. And first of all, I want to say to Denise for this broadcast, what do you call it, talk radio?
Uh-huh.
I found this not too long after Fame Expo.
Okay.
Wow.
I was sitting here and something said, why don't you, because I listen to T.D. Jakes on podcast, and something said, type in makeup artist, and you guys popped up, and I have been listening, and I've been so inspired by all
oh,
the
wow.
people that you have had on and listening to their stories. I will be 45 years old next month. Three kids, one just graduated from college, one is about to start her junior year in college, and my son just started high school. So I am in the
congratulations.
Thank
yes.
you. Hallelujah. Process of preparing for my empty nest and career, because for most of 20 years I've been a stay-home mom.
Yeah.
So I have begun my journey. And Sam, would you like to know, tell the people how I met you?
What, at the Queen Latifah show?
Yes, how did that happen?
Coming to the audience and just saying hello, yes, that's always the best way.
No. You left out a very important part. I was going to the Queen Latifah show. That morning I remembered, okay, Sam is there. I have his book. So I put the book in my purse, and I went on Instagram, and I said, Sam, I'm going to be at the 4 o'clock showing. And he came out after the show with the Sharpie.
Oh, wow.
And he signed my book. And
had a big purse.
Yeah, I do.
You have a big purse, okay.
Okay, I'm still trying to get it full of money, but that's another story.
Okay.
But Sam, when I met him, I was a little emotional and crying because the thing with me is all along the way, God gives me signs that I'm moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met Sam that day, my girlfriend and I have a phrase that we call kisses on the forehead from God. And so meeting Sam just let me know that I'm moving in the right direction. And he was so humble and just so encouraging. And then when I saw him at Fame Expo and he did his talk at the main stage and just, I mean, I've become friends with Valente.
Mm-hmm.
I worked a fashion show with AJ Crimson in L.A. That let me know I didn't want to do that again because that was a little too much chaos for me.
But Peggy, let me just interject. Let me just say, I met Valente at a class. I met my other assistant, Sonia Rodriguez, at a class.
Mm-hmm.
I met Rennie Vasquez on Instagram, and we had a meeting in D.C. when I went to do BET Honors with Gabrielle Union. I was like, you know, hey, I see you. Like, you know, meet me for drinks. Let's talk about what's going on in your career. You have to be in it to win it. So these shows like Fame Expo and Makeup Show and IBS and IMATS, these are a wonderful opportunity, not just to come in contact with the people that you enjoy their artistry, but with people you never know who you're really going to vibe with and who's going to vibe with you.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I took the class that Valente did here in L.A. back in May. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to Denise and Denise having Ventricia on your show, I am going to her class in Vegas next month.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yes, God. I heard her, and
oh,
I need to meet her. Wait a minute. She's on YouTube, and she gave out her phone number. Don't think I didn't call it.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
We had a good conversation. She answered the phone. She told me to go ahead and register. I registered. I called her back and told her I registered, and she said, you have given me permission to whoop your please. I said, okay, bring it on.
Oh, yeah, that's
going
to be
awesome. But I will tell you, for me, what brought me into makeup artistry is I am heavily involved in women's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with women who don't have their self-worth. I have a sister who is brainwashed in a cult right now. That kind of bothers me. So I actually just helped to open a new MAC counter here in Southern California. I was freelancing with MAC for a year, and then I decided to go ahead and take a permanent position. And people sit in my chair, and I have very good conversations with them.
Well, it's ministry.
About
it is ministry.
Life.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are attracted to this industry because there is an emotional piece to this our work. Our real work. I mean, you know, we talk about other women and, you know, being insecure and not loving their lips and not loving the skin that they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, celebrities are nothing more than those women that we worked with behind the cosmetic counter. So for me, I feel the same way. It's just you find your purpose and your purpose finds you. And that is so true. So true.
Yeah.
Peggy, let me just say that I am so proud of you because you said that you were a stay-at-home mom for, like, what, almost 20 years?
Yeah.
And when my girls
started growing up, I said, oh, I got to get a life.
I mean, you really, you know, focused on what it is that you want to do, and you're really truly going after it.
Yeah. I am, and I have a very supportive husband. I told him about Patricia's class, and I told him how much it was, and he said, we'll make it happen. So we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary in April.
That's definitely another concern that, you know, I often hear are like, you know, people who are coming into this industry a little bit later in life and think that this is just an industry for younger individuals. But I'll tell you, when you're on the movie sets, and you guys know, Janice and Denise, this is not, you know, talk about the business of beauty. The people who are really on set and in union are people of age. These aren't kids.
People of age.
These are people.
Absolutely.
So it's never too late to get into an industry that that you love because you think that you might be, you know, past the point of entry. And it's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
but with Sam talking tonight and saying that he's just now learning some new things, that's, like, amazing and mind-blowing to me that you've been in it for so long, and now you're saying, it's some stuff I wasn't too sure about or I didn't know or that I wasn't familiar with, but I've grown. To hear that, that's mind-blowing,
right,
Sam.
Right. But, look, like,
but
I know for me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I know for me, being in this business, in film and television for 16 years or so, I mean, I work with people right now who are 70 years old and still relevant in film and TV and do great makeup. Not just makeup for film and TV, but just great makeup, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And please know to everyone listening that it's not, you're not just learning about a new technique in makeup. You're learning how to get through the things that we've, you know, that we have challenges with. Whether that means, you know, timeliness or just making sure that, you know, or ego, getting past our ego to understand that, you know, you have to, you know, listen to the director and listen to the client about, like, I really want to look like this and this is the way I want it. I think they imagine that, you know, once you get to a certain point, you don't have those conversations. Those conversations are ongoing. And it helps you get, you know, and so learning something new isn't always just about, like, the new eyeshadow or new eyeliner. It's often about personal skills that you need to acquire.
I know you got other people online, but I got one more thing to say. The letter that you read at the beginning with the young lady from Uganda, for me, that was another kiss on the forehead because my His birth mother came here from Uganda, Africa, when she was 8.5 months pregnant with him. And so to hear how it is there, because I tell my son all the time, God brought you here to be somebody because you don't know what your life would have been like over there. So to hear the way, you know, she explained about, you know, the women and the domestic violence and all that kind of stuff, that was just another, you know, kiss on the forehead for me. So I just want to encourage her. I don't remember her name. But I just want to encourage her and to thank her for writing that email. That was awesome and amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you are amazing,
so much,
Peggy. You are amazing.
Thank you. I try. It's all God saved me, honey. Trust me. If I was left to my own devices, it would be a whole other story. Don't say nothing, Sam. Don't you say nothing.
I'll see you this Queen Latifah show, Peggy, all right?
Yes,
I'll look for you
in
the office.
Yes, you will. Thank you guys so much for letting me come out, and I really appreciate all three of you and your inspiration, and I'll be listening next week with Valente because I love him too, and I love all three of you, and thank you, and have a blessed evening.
Peggy, are you on social media?
Of course I am. We're actually Facebook friends. I'm Facebook friends with you. You don't know who I'm is, but I'm friends with you.
Well, I'd like to invite Peggy and Chris.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
See
thank
you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to jump to the area.
I like Peggy.
She's hilarious.
Hello? You're not talking.
Don't be shy.
Please don't be shy. Sam is here for tonight, and once he's not on the line, you can't ask your question but make a comment.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Who's calling?
Hi, this is Tiffany Lumpkin from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, what's your name again? I'm sorry. What's your name again?
I'm Tiffany Lumpkin from Silver Spring,
Tiffany.
Maryland.
Tiffany, what's up? What's up? I'm good.
I'm so excited to just get a chance to be on the line. I actually saw your post on Instagram, and I didn't know that you all were actually doing it, but I just found out, so I'm really excited that you posted.
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Social media can do a world of good, I tell you.
Well, I'm just here to kind of absorb it all, but I did have one quick question. I'm a makeup artist, probably full-time for about 3 years now. Recently followed my passion and my dream. My original career path was to go into biotechnology, went to grad school and everything. But one day I just dropped the textbooks and picked up makeup brushes, and it
looked
like it's been a blessing.
Wow.
But I'm really excited. It's still kind of new for me, but I'm seeing so many doors being open that I know it's only God opening them just this soon.
Yeah.
I know you're a businessman before you're a makeup artist, and we were talking about that before and not getting so consumed by the artistry. But how important is it for makeup artists to establish their brand with not only the art of it, with actually the service, but with brand endorsements, products, like, Sam, I'm out here making gift bags, blotting tissue paper, just because I know one day I won't always be able to do the makeup. So I want to be able to create financial stability for my children. And I know you're great at that. You have CoverGirl. I guess you work with Iman and Queen. So how important is it to establish like a product?
Establishing, let me say this. You are establishing a brand from the moment you have a Facebook page, from the moment you have an Instagram page, from the moment you have a Twitter account. You are establishing a brand. Your point of view, my written note cards to my clients speak to my brand. Your brand is an extension of who you are. Your business cards, your website, my DVD, my book, everyone that I attract is part of the brand that I am creating. And you are when you think about it, like Louis Vuitton or Gucci, you know, when you think about the people who buy into these brands, they definitely have just been true to who they are, and they whether it is luggage or craftsmanship or color or whatever it is, they let you know who they are. And I think from that standpoint, when you talk about, you know, our signatures as artists, working on our artistry, thinking about how we represent ourselves from our personal appearance to our stationery to our websites, those things speak volumes about us all. And so from that standpoint, everyone is a brand.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I definitely get that. I'm here just trying to absorb it all in. I'm just soaking it in. I'm listening to every single syllable, but I definitely understand.
Yeah, no.
And I get
so whatever level, you're at, these are the things that led me to become a CoverGirl spokesperson, you know, because when I would do classes at IMATS or doing the first makeup show, these are things that help to establish a brand. Every time you go, like you said, you saw my Instagram page. I work at being whimsical, but I also work very hard at being professional. So I'm always going to let you know what's going on in my career. That's why you have followers. So you're setting a tone for who you are through social media. That's something that, you know, many of us didn't have the luxury, you know, been in this business for a long time, didn't have the luxury of having when we were growing up. But now we take advantage of it. But when I talk about stationery and websites and the way we show up on time and the way we dress and the things that we provide for our clients, that's all branding because people come to look for that from you, right?
Excellent. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So every time you show up on set, Sam does this or so-and-so does this, they become accustomed to that. That's part of your brand. When you walk into a store and they offer you water or champagne, that's part of their brand. So you have to think about what's your brand. And how are you branding yourself every day through social media, through websites, through your work? And that is how we begin our brands. When you talk about being a CoverGirl spokesperson or a Revlon spokesperson or doing a book or a DVD or walking on a movie set, these are extensions, really, of your brand at this point, because I'm living my brand now. So the photos that I take and the products that I make, they're all an extension of what I've already told everyone that I am.
Gotcha.
Makes sense?
It makes perfect sense, Sam.
Yeah. So your brand is being developed as you speak. So
exactly.
So that's why, and a lot of people don't realize, I go into tons of artists' Instagram pages and their Facebook pages and look at their work, and I look at their other posts, and I look for professionalism, and I look for artists who are saying positive things, and that's really important to me when I look at assistants and look at up-and-comers. So that's all a part of your brand now.
Okay, excellent. And just one last question. I'm going to be super quick because I know there's other people. You've been in the business for 20-plus years. What would you say is the disadvantage and maybe an advantage of being a makeup artist like today as opposed to in the 90s and 80s?
Well, I mean, clearly social media. You guys have an opportunity that we never had. When I tell you I was going to model agencies with a portfolio, there was nothing digital. There was no cell phone. There was no computer. When I did my book, Fine Beauty, I was at Kinko's because we didn't even own a computer because computers were so new to us. You guys have so many more advantages. You can Google, a booker or an agent and send them some of your work and stay on them and call them. I mean, there's so many more advantages today that you guys have that we didn't. And also so much more exposure. Now I am on Instagram talking to people from India and Nigeria and so many places where I didn't have that opportunity when I was younger artists. So I'm very fortunate that people do remember my artistry or who have followed my career to stay with me at this place in social media. Because it is a very, very, very different world.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'm so grateful.
Old man Sam says that you kids have a ton of opportunity to take advantage of it.
like we gave real meaning to door-to-door, going door-to-door.
Right.
In the real sense.
Generally, we don't really have an excuse. There's so many resources that we can use, to take advantage
Absolutely.
Of every last one.
I mean, everything that you could ask for is online now. Even there are so many celebrities who are choosing top makeup artists in the world of Instagram who are using them and hiring them. So we didn't have that kind of entree. We didn't have that type of exposure in our day. I think you guys have so much more opportunity, and that's a wonderful thing. Take advantage of it.
And I will. Thank you so much, Sam.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
All right, Sam, you want to take a couple more?
Let's take one more. We are near 7:15.
Okay, one more.
Yes,
your time.
Yes, I'm sorry. My time, 7, 8, 9,
yeah,
10.
Yeah, I keep forgetting you're
10,
on the West
15,
Coast already.
Yes. Sorry.
Let's see. Gosh, I don't even know how to choose. All right, let's see. Sorry, guys.
Hold on. Just
a chance, but let's see. 330 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Oh, my goodness. I am so happy you told me.
See, you didn't do bad, Denise. You chose her. You never make a bad choice.
My name is Leah Love, and I'm from Akron, Ohio.
Hi, Leah Love.
Okay, so I have a few quick questions. There's a lot, so I'll try to make them brief. I really love mentorship. And I wanted to know, if somebody was going to approach you about being you mentoring them or if they wanted to mentor you, what would be the way that they would approach you?
There wouldn't be because I don't really take on mentees. When I mentor someone, and I can think of a few people that I have watched, and I can tell that they are ready for the next level. That's my choice. I'm not a business in the way that I take in interns or mentor individuals. I come across people that I can see greatness, and I feel that there's something that I can advise them on. You know, I'm not a show that takes on like interns and, you know, mentors folks, but I also tell people you don't need a physical, you know, a physical mentor. You can have a mental mentor. Like, you know, they have on Instagram, like what Beyonce do. It's kind of the same thing. Like, what would they suggest? How would they go about this? And I think sometimes we're waiting on someone's approval, someone's word for things, and we really have all the answers. If you're fortunate enough to meet a mentor, if you're fortunate enough to meet someone that you admire their perspective on business and art, then that's an amazing thing. But until then, there are so many opportunities to chat with people on Twitter, say what you have to on Instagram, expose them to your talent, go to classes at the Makeup Show and IMATS and Fame Expo. There's so many opportunities to come in contact with people and get the word that you need to move on in your career. I think that there are too many people that put weight in mentorship as if that is what it takes to be a great artist, and it's not always.
Okay. And then also, before you get an agent, and like you were talking about earlier, if you're traveling to different cities and you need to know how to formulate like your contracts and things like that, what is your advice on that area and arena?
Let me say this, and I love you for this. A contract is as simple as I am doing your makeup for a wedding. I quoted you this rate. It'll be paid in this amount of time. It will be paid with this much of an advance. I will only be doing you and the other person that I was contracted to do, no one else. I mean, you know all the particulars because we, as artists, have gone through it all. We've gone to the job, and they're like, oh, there are five women, other women who are waiting on you. I'm like, no, I didn't say I was doing them. And we've all been there, trust me. And that's how you form your deal memo. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. You don't have to know a lawyer to make one. It just has to contain the pertinent details to the job. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you're going to do a client, and you're doing her for a two-hour window. This is what you're charging. Now, if she's late, you might charge a late fee. If she's further than you're used to traveling, you might charge a travel fee. All of that needs to be agreed to before you go to the job. And so that she can sign on it and understand that she agreed to what you both agreed to. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It really is just that simple. And I think that's what overwhelms us about a lot of business, is that we think that it has to be something more than what we know. And it doesn't. It doesn't have to have special language to it. It, you know, it just has to say what you agreed to. It's just that simple. And that's the beginning of any deal memo. So don't overthink it. Just think about every job that you're doing and every time that you've been upset about something. I didn't get payment within a certain time. We didn't discuss overtime. We didn't discuss time and a half versus double time after 12 hours. We didn't discuss travel fees. We didn't discuss car reimbursement, gas reimbursement. These are the things that make you a smarter business person so that you can include those in your next business memo.
Okay. And then my last question is, looking back over your career, is there one thing that you wish you would have done differently? Is there one thing that you're just so glad that you did that, you know, you would instill in everyone else?
I mean, the one thing that I would have done differently, I would have worked on the financial end sooner. I'm fortunate enough to have had a career that has run long and wonderfully. But had I learned more about becoming incorporated, if I had learned about filing taxes separately as a business, you know, rather than, you know, from my personal, and I know this is going to confuse someone tonight, but you're a business. And so your personal credit cards and so forth, it, you know, when, once you become a business, it's important. I mean, Janice, help me out here. It's important to separate those two.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So those are the things that I wish I knew before when I was younger. My parents didn't have to deal with a freelance career. Their taxes were taken
right.
out. They filed for a return. They knew what they were getting. That is not the business we're in. Right, ladies?
That's
absolutely
right.
Okay.
you have to be very smart about it.
Yes.
You really do.
So I wish I would have learned more about that, but I didn't come from that kind of family. You know, my parents, my mom was a stay-at-home mother. My dad worked, and it was just, you know, paycheck to paycheck and a little bit of savings, and that's what it was, a very different existence. And so for me now, when I think about the things that have kind of that I've learned really the business of beauty. And when I think about the things that I have given to this industry, I've given my time, given my experience, I give my voice. And I know that there are many artists out there listening tonight who a lot of times feel lost, a lot of people who feel, artists who feel criticized, who don't feel like their work is worth it. We all feel that way. And hopefully, you know, they're pushing forward. And having this type of dialogue helps us all to move forward in our careers and push forward past our insecurities. And that, to me, is what this is all about.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Leah. I believe I'm following you on, or maybe you're following me. I don't know. Your name is very familiar
on
social media. Maybe it's Instagram. Yeah, I know the name for sure.
Yes,
those
I'm
taxes,
about to.
Leah?
I'm getting on them.
All right. And like Sam, you know, our parents the same way. You know, they work their jobs. Their taxes were always done. You know,
it was easy.
It was very easy.
Yes.
It was very straightforward. Let me say that. Let me take back easy. It was very straightforward. When you're keeping you got to keep your receipts about all the makeup you've done, all the business meetings you've had, all of those things. That is definitely more challenging.
It really is.
I know there are a lot of people who are listening thinking, like, that's a lot of work. It is. That's the work that I do when I come home. I organize my receipts. I get things ready. I have conversations with my tax guy because it's not as simple as getting one bill, one thing, and getting a return.
Right.
So it's definitely more challenging. Absolutely.
Now, you said you did keep them separately. As far as you had one, like, a LLC, and then you just did your personal?
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, I learned doing my taxes a while back. Everyone talks about being a brand, but when you become an incorporation, you become incorporated, you become a business. And the business protects your personal. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
And when you make a certain, you know, you make a certain amount of money, you want to separate it. You want to separate it. It protects you. It protects you. It protects your personal assets, and it makes your business can afford you the opportunity to write off very different things than being a simple personal business, so to speak.
Right.
But I always feel like I'm going into this with you guys. Huh?
It's good.
Sorry. I felt like, do you think that there's one way that's better than the other as far as like an LLC versus an S-Corp versus, you know, is there
you feel for this. So, go ahead.
I think that's something that you maybe need to speak with, like, a tax professional about and see what works best for you.
Right. Because the LLC is a partnership, correct?
No, there's LLC, partnership, and then the sole
proprietorship. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You're stressing somebody out tonight, right?
I'm
thinking, like, what are they talking about?
I love the business side, so I do a lot with that.
Yeah, I mean, but this is also the reason why you have to sit down with a professional and go through that.
Yes.
You know, don't just get incorporated because Sam says he's incorporated. You know what I mean?
Right.
Find out why that works for you and how it's supposed to work for you.
Yes.
But just as a freelancer, I mean, you just separate on your own as a sole proprietor, separate your receipts from your personal receipts and make sure, you know, at the end of the year, you have all of that stuff together and it's organized. So when you do see a tax professional, you know, they can help you with your taxes and prepare them for you.
Yes. And people don't see it as being something so much harder than what it is. I mean, and there are a lot of people who think, like, well, I don't make that much money yet. And this is really the time to become familiar with someone so they can help train you before you do get that windfall of money, before you do start going on tour with, you know, top celebrities. And then the money starts rolling in and you really don't know how to deal with it. And so it's important to learn now. It's important to learn now, the basics.
Because when all that money comes, it's going to get really confusing. So, learn now.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, this was fun.
If you're confused and don't understand, just get the help. It doesn't cost anything to ask a professional just a simple question. Just get the help.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Leah, for calling in. And thank you to all of those people out there on the phone line who wanted to say something and who didn't. I apologize if you didn't get a chance, but the next time Sam comes on, and I hope, and there will be a next time.
Always for you ladies, always.
And I appreciate you always making the time when we ask. So you guys, please make sure the next time Sam's on that you tune in and get those hands up right away. But also come back next week when we have Delinte Frazier on the line with us, and you have an opportunity to ask Delinte questions as well if you'd like. Anything else you want to say, Sam, before you leave?
No, I mean, you know, there's been so much said during a conversation like this. It's so hard, and I just don't want the artists to get too overwhelmed by all the information thrown at them. I want them to think about where they're going, where they want to go. You know, it's not just about being like someone else. It's about thinking about what works for your life, what works for you. And when we talk about finances, I can't say enough. I think it's important to get into the business of it, you know, whether you feel comfortable with it or not.
Right. I think we fall into this trap of talking about this all the time because it's just so important and just learning
it's
from
true.
Our own mistakes, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do to share the information.
It's true, and I mean, I don't think, you know, when you talk about artists of color especially, I mean, not many of us, you know, my sister's a first-generation college graduate, I'm a first-generation entrepreneur, you know, you really are learning on a curve. And so you really, you know, you talk about mentors for makeup, you really have to talk about mentorship for your finances. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a lot of money. Your bank can be a mentor regarding your finances. And so it doesn't have to be more than, you know, more than what you think. It can just be just as simple and as basic as your finances suggest.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Denise, anything else you want to say?
Yes, really quickly, I want to just shout out and thank Viola Nicholson, Frances Williams, Sharon Tina Brightman, Marietta Carter Narcisse, Rachel Madison, Aisha Tiffany, Tiana Peters, Renee Hamilton, Lee Will, and Jessica Marie for joining us on the tweet chat. And then again, to Crystal Madison and Peggy Haynes, Tiffany Lumpkin, and Leah Love for calling in with your questions.
You know, we could just talk forever, but I know. I told you it was only going to be an hour, and of course, you know, went over an hour.
Yeah, funny, but I'm always happy to talk to the artists and share our stories and let them know that, you know, we're all working through our stuff and it's working to come out on the other side, you know?
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you again very much. Thank you to everybody who listened. Guys, make sure you tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Standard Time. Again, Valente Frazier is our guest next week, and we have a lot of very exciting guests coming up in the weeks to come, so please stay tuned. Tell a friend, tell somebody that didn't know about the show, and then join us again. Okay? All right, everyone, be beautiful and blessed, and until next week, good night, everybody.